You are now tuned in to HMI Radio.
Peace, love, and gratitude on this 28th solar day in February. I'm Anem Oboyo-Bey, formerly known as Intuitive Spiritualist Tori C, here on HMI Radio. I am back to bring you another great episode, Living Beyond Death, where I'll be discussing the NDE experience. First, before I jump into the heart of things, I want to acknowledge the instrumental piece played at the beginning of this segment. It is called Tibetan Singing Bowls, Third Eye Chakra by Sonic Yogi. You can hear more from them on soundcloud.com/ Sonic-Yogi. Always like to give indie artists their credit for making such phenomenal music in hopes that you'll like, share, and spread what they have to offer. Now, my intentions in selecting that piece was to try to get us relaxed and open before we dive into such a controversial topic. I decided to do this piece because a sister friend of mine, Sabira Falomi, had invited me and my family to a private screening on February 1st. Where she had a feature spot in a documentary called Back from the Light, which was written and co-produced by Robert Neil Marshall, that's all one name, and Yvonne Sneeton, which is another friend of ours. The documentary really inspired me to spark the conversation about the near-death experience. Some people may ask, what is an NDE? Well, let's go according to the Wikipedia. It is a personal experience associated with an impending death encompassing multiple possible sensations, including detachment from the body, feelings of levitation, a total security and serenity. It is described as the experience of the absolute dissolution, and the presence of light. Now, for me, metaphysically speaking, I see it as the one experience that leads individuals to recognize the relevancy of spiritual growth and the higher reason for physical life on this earthly realm. Many people can have this type of experience. It is not an experience that's limited to a person, group, race, or anyone that practices a certain religion. However, most people spend that experience not really talking about it or viewing the experience in such a limited way that they still fall short of the full perspective of the experience alone. Now, to be honest with you, from my observation with it, and I'll go into my experience here later in the show, but words really can't express an experience that is so personal. What I've observed through my own experience is that human language is very limited in its expression of higher intelligence, whether they refer to as God, the universe, etc. I really feel like we do the best we can with what we know. So, hey, you know, we come back and we describe that experience, and you hear people describing it in so many different ways. Some describe seeing God, some describe seeing Jesus, some have also described seeing loved ones that have transitioned or spiritual leaders and so on. But not all NDEs share the same pleasant images when a person is experiencing or going through that experience. Once again, I'll speak about that later on here in the show. But I would like to know, is there any type of warning signs to warn us of these experiences before they happen. I kind of often see having a NDE, much like falling asleep at the wheel of a vehicle. Before you get in that vehicle, you always are aware of your level of exhaustion. At that moment, you make a decision to get in that vehicle or to just kind of wait it out until you feel a little bit more motivated and more energized to continue on your journey. But some of us get behind the wheel knowing our exhaustion level is a little low. So we take the risk of endangering ourselves or others and our family as well. And to me, those are warning signs to stop, slow down, and regroup. And how I connect that is that sometimes we get so caught up in the mundane life, having a 9-to-5 and, you know, family life and, the you know, just the things that or things that detach us from actually living our life to the fullest that we can live it. So with that, you know, when you have someone that's so wrapped up in the avatar that they claim and take so personal, it's only fair that an experience such as a near-death experience would take place. You know, at that moment, that big awakening happens. To kind of change one's perspective on life and its meaning. What is your NDE experience? I would like to hear from callers that have gone through similar situations. And tell me, what happened within your experience that changed your life? I'll give you the number to call. That's 607-203-5489. Again, that is 607-203-5489. And I have my screen up here, so I can't see if anyone is in queue. It doesn't look like I have anyone just yet. But while I wait for callers to line up in queue, and they may and may not happen, one thing I try not to do is to base my show around having callers to call in. But if someone happens to come along, so be it. But while we wait, I will like to express my experience and how my NDE has changed my life. Now, as a child, I was always in tune with my spiritual sense and always knew that there was something more to this life or to this earthly realm than what is projected. During my growing years, I had encountered a lot of situations that raised an interest in me to resist a lot of those that were in authority or had control over me. And that means from teachers down to my parents. And that wasn't because I wanted to. It was just at that time, me being who I am, you know, to question things and to analyze and so forth. My trust in authority was being challenged through various levels of discrimination, judgment, and so on. I'm not going to get into the dark side of that or what others may perceive that to be. But I wasn't too radical, though. I just had in my youth a moment where I carried others' perceptions of me and took it on as my own, which later manifested in my behavior towards myself. At the time, those were warning signs for me to slow down, love myself. But as a young person, that message doesn't always come easy, especially when you may not have people around you that will reflect that type of energy. So in 1992, I had just rented my first apartment and found myself in an unhealthy relationship. I've had many of those, but I bless the day that they've come to me because they only reflect things that are in need of healing within myself. So once again, I won't get into the other side of what unhealthy may reflect to others out there, but I've had my share of unhealthy relationships. But at my at this time in my apartment, my first apartment, I had I was laying across the bed, laying flat on my belly, and my spirit at that point had rose from my body and turned as if I was facing upwards. And at that time, this is, you know, was the weirdest feeling to me because that spirit had divided itself into another spirit of mine that kind of rose up over top of that one spirit from me that was looking upward. I hope this makes sense. And then there was another part of me that was standing on the side, observing all that was going on in my apartment at the time. Like I can see everything that was going on. My ex, which was watching TV, and what was taking place with me. So at that time, the part of me that was looking up and the part of me that was looking down began to fight real violently. And I felt myself being choked by that part of my spirit that was looking down on the other part of my spirit. I was feeling really, really, really just like I didn't have any breath. So it got to a point that I just called on the higher supreme power, God power, to help me. Because I was too weak to fight myself. Now, who can fight them themselves? Who can do that? But at that moment when I had called on God, everything stopped and I was thrust back into my body. And I remember just waking up gasping for air. Now, some may see that as an out-of-body experience or form of astral projection, which is almost pretty much the same thing, and not an NDE. But let's go back to the definition of Wikipedia. Wikipedia states it is a personal experience associated with an impending death, encompassing multiple possible sensations, including detachment from the body, feelings of levitation, a total security and serenity, and surrender to my highest self. I did that day. So once again, people, it's a personal experience that encompasses those sensations that classify that experience as an NDE. Now, some may ask, what classifies a near-death experience, and what is the difference between astral projection and near-death experience? Hope I'm not confusing you there. From my observation, it is level of awareness. The level of awareness can, this will be a challenge to kind of try to convey. But there are different levels of consciousness, which signifies there is different levels of awareness. So where others may have or may see a religious figure, I saw myself. And I'll tell you why I saw me. It's simply because I didn't have any connect, even though I had a religious background or upbringing, I could never visualize what God would look like. And I'm not one, and I've told my spirits this a long time ago because I'm clairvoyant. I'm able to see, hear, feel a lot of spirits. I particularly don't like seeing them too much because I don't like being scared out of my wits. So I've asked them kindly to allow me to hear them or feel them rather than see them. So crossing on the other side, seeing images of God or anything like that would have been kind of spooky to me at that time. So, and remember, I took up a position where I could only take instructions from myself because of the barriers that I put up with between me and authority. So it was only fair that I would address myself on that type of level or on an unconscious level. So that's the difference between the NDE and astral projection. It's the different conscious awareness. I hope I'm saying that correct. I'm kind of getting caught up in my own words here. But if I can break it down simply, it's sort of like a bird flying into a clear window. It is only that bird that watches everyday life, that sees innovations that create illusions such as the window of separation, that will recognize that window before flying into his direction. Now, the bird that ignores the warning signs is usually brought to another awakening level in the life and death process. Now, remember, higher intelligence or God's language is so vastly beyond our comprehension. Its willingness to communicate with us when we need to slow down and regroup and get ourselves together can only come at a level in which we can understand it. So for some of us, it takes a stronger force to break through our ego thinking. The stronger the ego, the more devastating the NDE experience can be. Now, these experiences can either kill you or injure you in hopes that one will see the meaning of life and all that it has to offer. Remember, I say it, most of us kind of get tied up in that 9-to-5 and this is who I am. I am my job. This is what I do. And that's not you. I can guarantee if you go back in thought about your childhood, you probably would say to yourself, I never grew up thinking that I will be who and what I am at this point. So don't get caught into, you know, that whole 9-to-5, I am this, I am that. But anyway, right now I would like to hear from my callers out there that have traveled across the universe in such a way that they can actually come back to this realm and express the experience of an NDE. And while I'm preparing to open up the lines, because right now I don't see any callers, I'm going to give you the number again while I'm preparing to open up the lines. That number is 607-203-5489. We're going to take a short break so you can get yourself together to tell me about your experience here on HMI Radio.
In the past, our human egos manipulated us into believing that we could change the circumstances of our lives by changing outer appearances. In truth, outer appearances will only change if we address the cause of the problem. When we deal with just the outer appearances of a situation, instead of what is causing the problem, it is like trying to change the reflection in a mirror without changing the object that is causing the reflection in the first place. This is a futile effort, and we will fail every time. Monumental changes are taking place on Earth, and humanity is standing at a crossroad. We can choose to remain in the quagmire of our painful human miscreations, or we can co-create a new cause that will move us forward in the light. The good news is that this choice is easier than ever before. Because of the unprecedented influx of light that has taken place recently, the I Am Presence, the divinity within every person, is at long last reclaiming dominion of our earthly experiences. The divine intervention of our I Am Presence is allowing the entire company of heaven to work more closely with us than ever before. These selfless messengers of our Father, Mother, God are asking us to join with them now in unified consciousness to co-create the cause that will transform this planet and all life evolving upon her into the full expression of heaven on earth, which is her divine destiny.
All right. I am back. I am Anem Aboyo Bay here on HMI Radio talking about living beyond death, a near-death experience. I would like to thank Patricia Cota Robles for that meditational piece that played during the break. It is called The Answer is Love. And you can hear catalog of meditations on www.eraofpeace.org. Now I want to talk today about the experience and how it has changed them. And once again, remember, it is very important to remember all near experiences or experiences that awaken you to your full purpose are not all the same. Some may come at a a different rate than others. So once again, I'm opening up the phone lines. I do see that I have a caller from the 301 Exchange. Caller, are you with me?
I am here.
All right. It sounds like you, Tanya.
Say moi. Hey, Anem, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. I've been listening in and enjoying the show tonight.
Cool beans. Do you have an experience you would like to share?
You know, it's interesting because I have had an experience, but, you know, I don't have the greatest recall of it. I was in a car accident a couple decades ago. I guess I was in my late 20s. And I was driving along in the rain, and I guess I was just a little too far over to the right side of the road, and I went off the road, and as I was trying to correct it, I overcorrected, and I ended up across the road and down in a gully, and basically, thankfully, my seatbelt saved me. And it was one of those things where the seatbelt burned me from my neck down, you know, where my skin was exposed, and then it bruised me underneath my clothes. And miraculously, I was fine other than that. But it has, I've certainly had issues with driving since then. Now, people talk about accidents and things like that where your life flashes before your eyes. And I really don't have recall of it now, but I remember at the time saying, oh my God, my life flashed before my eyes. So for me, that is the closest I've come to it.
So it was just like a quick flash.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think you're not alone. A lot of us have encountered experiences where we don't always recall every idle detail. You know, I think, though, it's for good reasoning. Sometimes we can't handle the emotion that come along with the memory. So we kind of like back out of it and say, hey, that's enough. Okay, I can only remember this much. I don't want to remember the rest of it. So, you know, you kind of leave the rest of the memory. But there is a change that happens, or at least I assume that most have a change afterwards. What was that for you?
And here's the thing, because it was decades ago, I really don't recall a change that happened for me other than one in which I lived my life in fear, rather my driving life. And even to this day, you've seen me drive, and you'll say, you're so far over.
Oh, yeah.
Because I stick to the middle line because there's this fear of moving too far to the right and going off the road. And I can even be self-conscious going over bridges and overpasses. I slow down significantly. You know, they call me an old lady driver, you know, because I drive slowly on those. So,
kind of goes back to that scenario I gave where, you know, someone getting behind the wheel of a car and they're exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, was that the same for you? Did you get behind the wheel on a
fatigue? You know, it's interesting. You know, it was an early morning, so I was awake at that time, but I have had numerous experiences since then where I have fallen asleep while driving or near fallen asleep. I mean, time after time after time again, and I will, like, wake myself up and I'll overcorrect again, or, you know, I even got a ticket once because I woke up and the car was just, like, sputtering to a halt. I was falling asleep driving, and I zoomed, hit the accelerator and zoomed by a police trap.
Oh my goodness.
And ended up getting a ticket.
Well, thank goodness.
You know, that's what happens when you drive a Grand Am, you know. Those cars just really accelerate, so I have memories of that car just zooming very quickly.
I know people are caught up in a time or this moment that we are experiencing now with a lot of police brutality and so forth, but at what you just shared, I'm like, thank goodness for the police, because if it was not for that trap, and I don't, did he or she chase you down or?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I definitely got a ticket, and the adrenaline was pumping so hard that I woke up. You know, and was able to get back home. And so, you know, that's the good news in the situation.
So you didn't really have to go through one of those experiences where it's almost like going full speed into a brick wall, because there were little angels along the way kind of like helping you out.
You know what? My angels deserve medals because they are always, always busy.
Mm-hmm.
Always, you know, on board, taking care, alerting me, supporting me, helping me, and I am grateful.
Yes, yes. I actually remember working, I can't think of the name of the place, is it Aztec or some, that place around the corner here in Laurel. I would come from work because I worked the midnight shift. So, and getting off in the morning when the sun is just blaring in your eyes and there's traffic everywhere, you know, I would often fall asleep. But like my scenario, I knew my exhaustion level, and I made a choice to be behind the wheel. So the only thing that I really listened to at that moment is my grandmother, before she passed away, she had called me, and I was working another job. This was totally maybe 4 or 5, maybe 6 years apart. You know, she told me 6 years ago prior to that time, coming out of a dream, just calling me, and I'm like, Nana, I'm asleep. I haven't even gone to work yet. She's like, oh, goodness, thank you. Like, I had a dream that you fell asleep at the wheel. So from that point on, that stuck in my head. So it got to the point with me, instead of just driving in that car, I often would just pull in the lot or stay in the lot at work and just pull into a space where I knew it wasn't too many employees around, and just go to sleep and get myself together before I got on the road, you know. And it was her that I thought about. It was, you know, not being around to complete my task as a mother that kept me off the road, you know. So, you know, I kind of see those are the warning signs before an impact such as NDE. You know, we can choose to hear or we can ignore. I just feel like sometimes we get so caught up in our avatar. You know, I am this, I am that, I am corporate CEO. This is my job. This is who I am. And we forget our purpose. We forget our higher purpose here. So, you know, and I think after listening to that documentary Back from the Light, listening to everyone sharing their experiences, they pretty much stated over and over again that they were caught in their 9-to-5 world, kind of detached from life. And certain experiences or that experience had to happen in order for them to come back to the realization of who they really are.
And you know, it's interesting. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking about what you're saying, and, you know, seeing the documentary, it was wonderful to support our friend Sabira and Yvonne and to hear about the experiences of the other folks and how it impacts them now. But having heard Yvonne's story last spring, was very moving, very powerful, and I had read some books, listened to some books on CDs. I had been fascinated with people who had near-death experiences, and a connection I'm making is I relate to them. And it's not that I have a recall of going through an experience where, you know, some of the commonalities like seeing a bright light or meeting someone, you know, like Jesus or an ascended master or an angel or something, you know, like you mentioned earlier. But the end result of really understanding that this world is not my home. You know, I am a spiritual being having a human experience, and just, you know, taking some of the fear away about what's beyond this, knowing that, you know, there's something beautiful that's there, and just making sure that while I'm living this life, that I'm living it to the fullest, I'm honoring me, I'm honoring other people, you know, that I see, just remembering that we all are part of one great collective consciousness and being as loving as possible.
Yes.
And so, you know, that's why I love the energy of the NDE folks that I've met, because I can relate to them on that level.
I think a lot of us can relate on, I mean, because somewhere in our soul, all of our lifetime, and I don't know if everyone out there listening may believe in reincarnation, and if you do, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine too. But somewhere within our soul, we have or share the embedded memories of different lifetimes and different pain and suffering and happiness and joy that we've experienced in those lifetimes. So when it comes to listening to someone describe their near-death experience, it's not far-fetched to us. I think that's why it becomes so fascinating, because somewhere in our subconscious, in our soul, we know that we have experienced this too.
Gotcha. That makes sense, yes.
I am definitely one that had my experience, like I stated, came at me in a different way. And, you know, from that point on, sometimes when I fall asleep or I'm in the midst of falling asleep, I can tell right away what type of conscious level I am, or subconscious, I don't know which way I should say that, but I can tell during the drifting of going to sleep where I'm, my level of consciousness, where it's going at that time. I don't know if you ever had a moment where you could have been falling asleep and it just feels like you're drugged. You ever had those experiences, or coming out of a dream and you feel, or you're trying to come out of a dream and you feel drugged?
Oh, yeah. Had one last night when I was taking a nap.
You know, those are, I recognize them now because when I was having that experience, that's how I felt. It was a heavy, intoxicating feeling that I couldn't release myself from. I couldn't fill myself up. If I was drinking, I still don't know to this day whether I was dreaming or, you know, was that the real, you know, I didn't know. I was just gone. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think a lot of us experience that, and we just don't talk about it enough. We don't sit at the dinner table sharing a conversation about our dreams or different things that we've experienced on our dream state, which is very, very, very close to near-death experience. We just separate them for whatever reason. I don't know why. Go ahead.
You know, it's interesting because in that people who have near-death experience, it's like they go to this state, to this place. Some may call it heaven or what have you, but it's a state of consciousness or a realm or whatnot where they have that connection with other beings. And people who, you know, do astral projection or even in a state of meditation, they can travel and they can, it's like the veil is thinner and they have a deeper connection. So I'm seeing the similarities there. And I've witnessed over and over again, you know, as a the sacred healing work that I do, people who are on the table, you know, whether they're receiving a massage or Reiki or what have you, just many of them report just going somewhere, and there are times when I can sense that, oh, they are just so not here. They are off traveling. And they confirm it, you know, when the session is over, that, you know, they were off somewhere. Some of them have these really rich, vivid experiences. When I tend to travel, I often don't have recall of where I went to. I just know that I have been off, just somewhere off flying and connecting, and I don't bring it back. Meaning I don't bring the details of it back. That's just how I function. Mm-hmm. But, you know,
it's not the details, I believe, are important, but not really the importance of the experience. I believe the knowing that we connect to is more of the importance of the experience, connecting to that infinite love, connecting to our full truth, and bringing that back into the physical realm, I believe is the most important thing to get out of that experience and to live on this earth.
Mm.
It is also my observation that I believe a lot of these tragic events happen to capture our attention and wake us up is because we don't realize that we can go to the place anytime we want to. We do it at night. We go to sleep. We shut our bodies down. We put ourselves in a trance. And just with a little training, you can allow your spirit to roam and go anywhere you choose. That Netflix film, Sense8, wasn't created for no reason.
Yeah, love it.
You know, so we can do a lot that we are not aware of. And when we fall short of knowing who we are, I believe it takes a traumatic event to happen in order for us to reconnect. It's almost like, you know, when you go to those little tracks that had a bumper cars, and I don't know if you ever ridden a bumper car.
Oh yeah.
But as you're staring at that car, and it seems like no matter what, you're trying to steer it in the right direction, it goes off track, and somebody comes and bump you and get you right back in line. That's how I see these tragic NDE experiences. Those are, you know, the bumper cars going out of line. You know?
So gotcha.
Those experiences kind of knock us back into place. And unfortunately, some of us don't make it. Some of us don't make it back. Some of us don't live to tell what they've experienced, let alone come back and change their life and circumstances based on their experience.
Mm.
So I think it's only fair if we can just tune in and kind of get a gist of the warning signs before we had to hit rock bottom, you know. And sometimes we have to, you know. Spirit can only communicate to us on a level in which we understand it. So
that is true. That is true.
Well, Tanya, I do thank you for calling in. We had a good old conversation here.
Yeah, really thank you.
And I'm going to let you off the hook now.
Well, I've enjoyed chatting, and you've given me some food for thought about this whole topic. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Hopefully we can get you back here and talk again.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, folks. We are nearing our ending time here. I hope I've pointed out some great things for you to really think about and investigate. Like I said, with NDE experience, we can do these things at will. We don't always have to wait until a traumatic event to reconnect with ourselves. If you can, wherever you may be, try to get some books. And like I said, I'm not sure why science has kind of broken up that experience into departments or categories like NDE, astral projection, outer body experience. I'm not sure why they do that. I think it's more sometimes it's geared towards profit and interest. However, it's a very thin line between all of those. So if you can, pick up some books on the NDE experience, astral projection, out-of-body experience, and kind of just compare those stories and at the same time, see where you fit in any of those stories. Might help to learn how to do some meditation and training your mind to be still. Once you can get a better handle on that, the places that most people go when having these experiences, you can go at will. So I hope I gave you a little food for thought, and hopefully you will go and investigate a little further these experiences and how they apply to you. Also, if you need any type of assistance or guidance on just reconnecting to yourself, you can reach out to me at 240-554-5219. You can either give me a call, but I prefer you to text, or you can go to my website, which is www.spiritualsbytoriec.info. You can also connect with me via website, my website for HMI Radio at www.hmiradio.info to also connect with me there. Like I said, we're coming to the end of our broadcast, and I want to thank Tanya for calling in and sharing her experience with us today. For my next show, which is March 27th at the same time, 7:30, I am pushing to have Brother Roz Ben on here teaching the nation about crystal technology and how it applies to us. We're still kind of back and forth just a bit here. He's a very busy man. He's out there educating people on crystals and how they apply to us, especially those of a nature. So it's really kind of hard to get a hold of him. I saw him last Sunday in Philadelphia at the Sun Art Art Gallery, where he gave a workshop on crystals there, and we connected. So hopefully I can get him here. And I also want to get Nima from Sun Art Studios in Philadelphia on here, telling us about the art space that she co-owns. It is very, very nice. So I don't have her web link right now, but what I will do is put it up on the HMI Radio website. So if you're interested, you can check it out from there. Either way, whatever, if I get in touch with Brother Roz Ben or not, still going to give you a great topic. What it is right now, I can't say, but I will put it up on my website at www.hmiradio.info. So please go there to keep up with the broadcast and other events that I will have coming very, very soon. And also, next Sunday, March 6th, you'll want to stop by Mind, Body, and Soul Food Radio and get your spring forecast / intuitive reading with spiritual coach Wilma Lee and the host Tanya Parker. You just heard Tanya just a few minutes ago. She did that show. So make sure you log on to blogtalkradio.com/Tanya Parker to find out the time. So remember, you must go there to find out the time that she's on with spiritual coach Wilma Lee to get your intuitive reading for the spring. Again, I want to thank you guys for stopping by, listening today, whether that's live or you're listening to this on demand. I want to thank you. I appreciate you stopping and taking a listen. I'm Anima Boyo Bay, and I look forward to your presence again here on HMI Radio. Peace, namaste, and ashe.
Divine destiny, that cause which we will now co-create with the company of heaven is love. In deep gratitude for our ability to serve life in this way, let's join together in consciousness with the I Am presence of every man, woman, and child on earth. And let's unify our hearts with the entire company of heaven. Together we will co-create a new cause of love that will be far more powerful than any of the human miscreations that are currently causing humanity's pain and suffering. Beloved Father, Mother, God, we ask that you now expand the flame of transfiguring divine love that is pulsating within every person's heart. Create from this sacred fire a tremendous heart of pure divine love that expands and expands until it envelops the entire planet Earth. This resplendent heart of pure divine love now magnetizes the love of God from every ascended level of being in the universe. This unfathomable influx of love floods the earth and bathes every atomic and subatomic particle and wave of precious life energy in its healing light. This activity of light creates the archetype that will form the pattern of perfection for our planetary cause of manifesting divine love within the heart and mind of every man, woman, and child on earth. Our Father, Mother, God, the entire company of heaven, and the I Am presence of every person on earth, join together now as one unified force of divine love. As one breath, one heartbeat, one voice, one unified consciousness of pure divine love, we breathe previously unknown frequencies of the love of God from the very core of creation into the heart of every person on earth. This unprecedented influx of divine love is now flowing through every heart flame, creating a symphony of love that ensouls and interpenetrates our beloved Mother Earth and all life evolving upon her. This influx of divine love now expands into the fifth dimensional heart chakra of every person on the planet. The I Am presence of every man, woman, and child is becoming a powerpoint of light, unified in consciousness with the I Am presence of every other person on earth, inbreathing, assimilating, expanding, and projecting this force field of pure divine love throughout humanity, the elemental kingdom, the angelic kingdom, and the entire atmosphere of earth. The I Am presence within every person is now the open door for this resplendent light. At inner levels, every person on the planet is experiencing this force field of unconditional divine love. Through the I Am presence, every person is seeing the scintillating colors of love, smelling the fragrance of love, hearing the cosmic tones and moving melodies of love. Through this activity of light, we are all truly love in action. We are collectively changing the core vibration of the primal light substance, which has gone into creating the present negative conditions manifesting on earth. Through the love of our Father, Mother, God, the entire company of heaven, and the I Am presence of every human being, we are the cause of this force field of divine love, now established on earth. Together we have set in place the basic spiritual forces of divine love, over which humanity is now ascending out of our long exile in darkness into the fifth dimensional realms of light. This is what our cause of divine love is attracting into each of us personally and all of us collectively. We are all being raised into a profound awakening of supreme love consciousness. We are here and now the masters of love we were always destined to be. We are beings of love, accepting responsibility for loving this sweet earth and all her life free. We are one with this blessed planet, and the planet is one with us. Our Father, Mother, God, and the company of heaven are now intensifying their light through every person's heart flame. This activity of light is lifting humanity into a higher octave of divine service. Every person on earth is being permanently invested with a cosmic force field of divine love. This force field is initiating each of us into a higher order of service to humanity and the light. This will greatly enhance our ability to co-create the patterns of perfection for the new earth in the physical world of form. We accept that this activity of light is being God victoriously accomplished even as we call. And so it is, beloved I am, beloved I am, beloved I am.